92.3 Free FM.
Free FM.
We have somebody on the phone who says he's stalking somebody even as we speak. Brian, get on the phone. Roth Radio, talking to you. Go ahead, Brian.
Yo, what's going on, D-Ro?
Are you a stalker?
Yeah, I guess so, man. I'm in a rental car because my car is a little recognizable. I'm following a girl right now, my ex-girlfriend, that 195, man.
Okay, and where did you...
She got me nuts, dude. I'm going bananas. I'm outside of her house at midnight just watching who she's leaving with. I already know who's in there. I already know who's in there. I know what they're doing, but I don't care. I just watch.
Okay, well, you must care.
I just don't even care, you know? It doesn't even get me anywhere. I don't even approach her anymore. I would call her and approach her and everything, but she's with somebody, but I just want to bash the guy's head in. It's kind of driving me nuts.
Okay, and is this something...
Right now, I think he's bringing her to get drugs. She had a drug problem. And we're kind of going the way to Camden. I don't know if that's definitely where they're going, but I think that's where they're going.
Where did you start to follow them, my friend?
By Jackson.
Okay, and you're using a rent-a-car because she's going to recognize your real car.
Yeah, man, she's going to recognize my car, yeah.
Okay, and when they finally come to a stop somewhere, what is your intention?
To watch what they're doing and just see what happens.
Okay. And
I'm just watching her, dude. I just want to see what she's doing and where she's at. Like, if I see her getting drugs or something, or if I see this guy get out of the car to cop something, I'm going to go nuts. I'm probably going to hop out of the car and just beat him down so bad he's not even going to realize what's going on.
Well,
she's going to freak because she doesn't even know I'm anywhere around. She's miles from home. She's 20 miles from home. So, I mean... It's just going to go off, man. If I'm right about what's going on right now, this is going to be it. This is where I'm going to make my presence known, and I'm just going to be like...
Radio. Well, that was the mind of a stalker, huh? Right here on the front page of the Post. Monica Crowley. She's a good-looking girl. When does it mean I'm stalking her, and when does it mean I'm not stalking her? How many emails does that account for there, huh? We got that call yesterday at the very end of the show. I can't possibly top that. That's the real deal there, huh? Look at the picture of this girl, Adam. Well, she's gorgeous, huh? No wonder. I'm surprised she's only got one stalker. You ever stalk somebody?
Not really, man, you know.
No, not like that, right?
Not like that. That was really intense yesterday, man.
He sounds like he's obsessed, right?
Yeah, but I didn't see nothing on the news about him yesterday, so I don't know if he got into an actual fist fight with the guy.
Well, we told him to turn the boat around. I doubt that he was actually going to conclude, but that's an accelerated state, huh?
Yeah.
Says here's something like 436 emails, 463 before they stopped counting, the detective says. I wonder what they're going to try him for. Is this harassment? Is this an acceptable thing? Come on, you know, obviously 463 emails is a lot, but we get even somebody like Elizabeth Haight, who actually writes a relationship column for the Post here, and she said that she made 20 phone calls to somebody, she got irate with somebody. This is not out of line. I mean, it's not out of the ordinary. It may well be out of line, but it's certainly not out of the ordinary. I myself have made more than multiple calls just to assert my presence. Everybody in the room is nodding their head. What's the most calls that you've ever made to a girl insistently, Hutch, realistically?
Oh, now you'd let me cast my mind back, but I would say probably the same. 20, 25 calls, you know, you just want to get your point across and you just won't give in.
And what's the movie with Favreau and the guy Swingers where he starts leaving 7 calls in a row and he goes, look, and it hangs up on him and he goes, look, just in case this boiled my message, I'm going to leave another message here because sometimes electronics do that, and then it cuts off a little shorter, and he goes, look, I know you didn't get the whole number and that you're paying attention, and is he actually stalking that person? What's the break point? Obviously, this gal Crawley is dealing with a character. What does he have, a cyber shrine to broadcasting beauty Monica Crawley on his computer and confessed in creepy emails that he was dangerously obsessed with her? What did he say? I'm dangerous? This love could be dangerous? I'm very curious about this. B. Young, have you ever stalked somebody to a degree?
Not at all.
Okay. When do you draw the line? How many emails is stalking?
It depends on what the emails say, I think. It's an attitude also, along with the number, you know?
Okay, but earlier yesterday it said that he had sent unwanted roses. How many times do you send roses before they're unwanted? Or if you send a dozen when one should have done the trick, is that now stalking?
I guess so. I've never been that pushy for me. It's like if a girl is not showing interest, I have no interest in her.
Okay, but you're not obsessed.
No, not at all.
You also have in rock and roll what's called choice fatigue. That's why you stay on the road. Oh, always a good...
But I do have a stalker situation that happened to me a long time ago involving a girl that I was dating, and her ex-boyfriend was stalking her. I don't know if you call it stalking her, but he was calling her, going crazy over her. And one time I came home with her about midnight or so, parked in front of her house. She's in my car, and the guy comes flying out of her bushes. He had been waiting in her bushes in front of her house. And the next thing you know, this guy's banging on my window. I'm locking the doors, and this guy's going crazy. And I just started the car, and we drove off, and the guy was like chasing
my
car.
And did you ever have any more contact with that individual?
No, I dumped the chick.
No, she
wasn't worth it. I wasn't going to get beat up over this girl.
A lot of times you inherit somebody like that. You get find a decent girl, especially if she's got a kid. The girl's great, the kid's fine, and you just inherited Junior. You just inherited Homeboy. I've had 3 horrible experiences like that. Suddenly dad, distant, forgotten, gone away forever, deadbeat bass player, sometimes heroin addict, sometimes dad, reappears on the scene. Suddenly realizes just how important the kid is, just realizes how important it is to build a bridge back to mom. And how's he going to do that? By talking to me over and over and over again. And if we don't bond, if we don't get a nice tight bond there, you know, as 2 men concerned about the same family unit and the same woman, he turns ugly. Same kind of thing that you just heard on the phone call there. That's a real phone call. That's why I kicked the show off with that. We finished with that last night, yesterday. 866-313-3733. First call, please. Roth Radio, you're talking to Dave. Go ahead.
How you doing, Dave? I wanted to let you guys know I'm an attorney, and I work pretty much on cases that deal with people who are pretty much at the end of their life in the estate will cases and whatnot. But right now we happen to have people who are leaving, this is something along the same lines, they're leaving emails with other people and their family about what they would like to have put into wills, and right now that seems to be carrying some weight. So as far as what goes on with the emails as a stalking situation goes, it's going to become a lot more prevalent is what people are going to be saying as far as harassment and as far as intent. If it's going to have anything to do with the people actually meet and the man does something to the woman, this is going to show definite intent. So this could be bad for the individual.
So you're saying that he would be leaving a trail there that would be definable as malicious?
Yeah, and not only that, he supposedly he encountered her on a train station and grabbed her arm and said, I had to speak with you. Now, this sounds like a person who has mental problems to the extent that he thinks he has a relationship with this woman just by watching her on the television.
Okay, but yeah, but she's a celeb here. Now let's jump ahead and into something a little bit different here because she's a really good-looking blonde gal, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not good-looking, and I'm not really blonde, and people grab me constantly. I've had stalkers. I've had stalkers file restraining orders on me for supposedly telepathically robbing their brain for my lyrics, and I've had to retain litigating attorneys for this garbage. I've spent tens of thousands of dollars having people sent away, and they get sent back, and they show up right back in my front door. Not 2 days goes by without somebody grabbing me from behind, especially after dark, especially where alcohol is consumed. What do you do for me?
Well, the difference between those two situations, a person may say, and I'm not saying that this is correct, Dave, a person may say that a person's lifestyle is going to genuinely bring about their problems. Not to say that celebrities sometimes seek attention and they should get it from people who are unsafe. But in the same situations, they're going to say people who are higher profile visibility, such as celebrities, are going to encounter more people in their lifetime. In each situation, it's not going to be like a passing day for a regular Joe. Every day, a guy like you may encounter 10 people running up to them and screaming their names. And in those situations, you'll have to take it with kind of a barometer. Say, well, this guy's definitely scary. And this person is, you know, I've seen that 1,000 times before. The difference what the law can do for you is, you kind of have to have a situation where you're going to have to have a mask on of every person who ever comes in contact with David Lee Roth. If David feels unsafe around this person, there's going to be some kind of legal problem. You understand that that's an impossibility. So if it leads up to something and you see something making and manifesting itself, that's the difference in just having kind of a blanket theory over anybody who's going to want to stalk or harass you. I mean, there's a big difference if somebody just saying, hey, Dave, how you been? How you been? I haven't seen you in a while. And Dave, you got to come with me, man. You got to come outside. I want to show you something. There's a big thing dragging you outside. That's two big differences.
Okay.
That's happened to you.
Okay, but this is a real pretty gal here. Somebody grabbed her by the arm, okay? And yeah. I have no contest with this stalker getting whatever kind of punitive action he receives, okay?
Absolutely.
But do you believe that women have more capacity, more latitude to stalk guys? Because I've had drunk women grab me, get me into a headlock, grab my arm, refuse to let go, and start making comments that if I can't have you, nobody will. I've been wrestled to the floor before that way. I've had people try and stab me with a pencil while holding me in a headlock, and that was a woman.
Wow. Well, I'll give you this much. There is a double-edged, there's two definite ways of looking about stalking. Definitely when a man stalks a woman, it is looked at as a lot more serious situation than when a woman stalks a man. That is not fair in the court of law, especially when women have been time and time again the same woman standing in front of the same judge with the same defendant. That is definitely something that the courts, and for some reason the judges seem to have a lot more leniency towards the women. They may say, okay, the next time, miss, and I'm not joking around, the next time I'm going to put you in jail, and the first time a man may have stepped in front of a judge, he may automatically get hit with a restraining order, and the woman may or may not. But if the second time that man steps in front of that same judge, he gets put away for a year, and the woman usually does it. I think that that's wrong, without a doubt, bar none.
Where do they send the man to? What kind of a facility does somebody like a stalker actually go? Where do they go?
It depends actually on the sentence. If he's going to do more than a year, he's going to go someplace to an upstate facility. And if he's going to do a year or less, he's going to go to Rikers Island in New York City.
So they're going to send him off to a psych facility? Because that's where they sent my two female stalkers in Los Angeles. And they both got out after 60 days and showed up right back at my front gate. One of them found out where my sister worked, went up to her office and threatened her for getting in between our supposed romance.
Shame. They should not be released. If it's a psychiatric facility, they should definitely only be released under the pretense that this person is now sane and should be allowed to go out in public. If that has not shown itself, by them releasing her back into public, it's not only bringing harm back to the stalker, but to the general public in itself. And that's completely up to the judge. Unfortunately, if he says this woman is not competent to stand trial as a stalker, she has to go to a mental institution before they could find her mentally sane, that's on the judge if she comes back out and he doesn't want to do anything the second or third time around. As I said, if it's a man doing it to a woman, he usually will not go to a mental institution unless he's like drooling in the courtroom and jumping out of his seat and throwing things at the judge. They'll say he's just trying to pretend that he's mentally insane. A woman doing it to a man, usually a woman will understand, okay, this guy doesn't want to see me and I won't do this anymore. For some reason, judges seem to say, I'm not fooling around with you, and they seem to take it a lot more seriously, unless there is a mental problem involved into it. And if she used that to her advantage, and she got out again, and she went back to the same person and stalked them all over again, I would definitely have called the police the third time. And
sure, but you're describing the map. I'm describing the territory. What if this is like I had a homeless person who's aligned with the Tony and Susan Alamo religious cult in Hollywood, basically living out of basements, all right, and showing up with litigating attorneys who are working on spec who are sleeping with her, quite evidently, all right? This is somebody who filed a restraining order on me for supposedly beating her up and selling our children off to slavery to South America. I don't have any kids. I've never hit a woman in my life. I've never been married. And this is an individual who calls herself by one of my song names. She still pops up in the emails routinely and so forth. I think this is common. What's more common, guys chasing girls or girls stalking guys? And that's a serious question.
The serious question is it's guys chasing girls because men have a serious problem with letting go and they have the ego factor where they don't want to believe that they're not good enough for a person, whether or not the woman has cheated on them is the reason why they want to break up or whatever reason is behind it. A man's pride is a lot more. For whatever reason, a man will not refuse defeat or surrender as quickly as a woman will in a situation.
Well, we're raised with try again. Don't take no for an answer. Don't be a wuss. Everybody does something once, try eight times in a row.
Let me give you this bit of advice, Dave. As far as the Yankee Rose, if this is the person you're talking about, because I'm pretty sure that's the name of the song, you may be talking about this woman.
Yeah.
I would definitely just have a blanket restraining order under who this woman may be, that if any time in the future she should ever encounter you, you would immediately be covered legally, that even if she wants to go ahead and get a defense team that would be in the insane names like the Kleins and the Cochrans, even though he's gone, but the people of that caliber, you would automatically be covered and you shouldn't have to be able to pay her legal fees as far as it goes if she ever takes you back into court. And without any ifs, ands, or buts, you should automatically have a blanket order on her if you don't already, which means if she ever comes in contact 500 yards of you, you can automatically have her arrested.
Good luck in finding where she lives here. Hey, thanks for calling. This was an illuminating phone call, Edward. Have a great day.
You too, buddy.
866-313-3733. Cleveland's stalking us. Go ahead, Jim. Are you on? Hit it up, Rush. Scott. Sorry, wrong number.
Jim.
Are you there?
Jim.
Yeah, I'm here, Dave.
Who's this?
This is Jim from Cleveland.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Dave?
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I had 2 years ago, I had a girl stalking me, and she ended up cutting her wrist because she found out I was seeing another girl. And
well, that's kind of a compliment.
Out of the hospital, she still came by the house, and I kept hiding from her, dodging her. But like I said, that was 2 years ago, and I ran into her at the store about 2 months ago. And I approached her. We made eye contact, and I went up to her. I said, hey, you know, I'm sorry. And I kind of took advantage of the girl back then, but she was a good girl, man. I was being a bonehead back then, you know.
Okay, so what's your point?
Well, my point is that I was stalked by a girl, and she found out I was seeing another girl end up tried killing herself.
Okay, so she was trying to kill herself so she could inflict pain on you mentally, you think?
Yeah.
And it looks like she was pretty successful.
Yeah.
I mean, here you are talking about it. How long ago did this happen?
This happened 2 years ago.
Okay, so this is an interesting call here. And have you had any recent contact with this gal? Has she tried anything else?
No. Like I said, I made eye contact with her in the store about 2 months ago, and I apologized to her because...
You apologized to her for cutting her own wrist?
Well, you know, I can't see someone hurting themselves over somebody else, you know what I mean?
Isn't she depending upon that? Isn't that what's called passive-aggressive, something like that? I don't know if it is, in fact, but I think that's what it is. It's kind of a play on the old Jewish mother joke. How many Jewish mothers does it take to put in a light bulb? Don't worry, I'll sit in the dark.
She's
going to peddle a little guilt to you.
I think this girl just needed to be with someone. She, you know, like, she couldn't live if she wasn't with somebody.
If I may interrupt for a second, I think the person that she needed to be with was a clinical psychiatrist, man.
Yeah.
David Lee Roth, mornings. 92.3 Free FM.
This is going to be it. This is where I'm going to make my presence known, and I'm just going to be like, gotcha, you know?
Well, we're talking to a real stalker here. Brian, how long did you know this woman?
I dated her for 4.5 months.
And how long ago was this?
We stopped dating, I would say, like 4 months ago.
And you've been kind of following her around and keeping an eye on for 4 months, you're saying?
Yeah, man. For a while, it was like I wouldn't even call her, you know? And then the feelings just started eating away at me, just the thought of what she was doing and who she was with and stuff. And I knew she talked to this guy a lot at work, but... And she would just be like, no, you know, it's nothing. I don't think anything of him, this and that. But I knew deep down that it was gonna be him, you know?
Slow down, brother. And, slow down, brother. You know, hey, you're amongst friends. Slow down, brother. Hey, let me ask you this. Have you had words with the fella? Have you actually countered him?
And, I don't know, man.
No, that's an easy question. Have you actually...
Like,
slow down.
Watching what was going on. I see her come home with the guy a couple times.
Okay, and have you had words with the guy? Have you spoken to the guy?
About this particular situation?
Yes.
No. I know him. I've spoken to him. I confronted him, like, once, like, kind of. Like, we were in the store where she worked. And, like, I kind of, like, spit some of my drink on him. And I was just like, let's get the hell out of here, you know? I just brushed past the guy because he was talking to her. And he didn't realize she was with her boyfriend.
Nope. Deep into the mind, huh? That's the real stalker. That's the way somebody thinks there. This fella called up at the end of the show yesterday. That's an amazing sound, isn't it? That's somebody in a hyper-accelerated state. I don't think that he finally completed the move there. We probably would have read about it in the Post equally here. I'm talking about the Monica Crowley issue here. It's on the cover of the Post. She's a great-looking girl, huh?
Yeah,
I'm surprised she's only had one stalker. I bet you she's had a number of people and that this is the biggest one. This is the doggy that weighs in the biggest. 436 emails or stuff. What's the most emails that you can send before you start qualifying as a stalker? Or can you send 400 emails? And as long as you don't commit any violent act or you don't intervene on somebody, then that's not stalking. The fellow, the attorney who called before said that you will be leaving a paper trail, so to speak. If you leave 400 emails and then you grab her by the arm, you point to that and go, look, this was intent. This was somebody who was looking to create, you know, the action that finally transpired, right? But what if he never makes the action? What, can you just send as many emails as you want? At what point does this become stalking? Because I grew up with, like a lot of you listening here, don't take no for an answer. Come on, only a wussy just stops after 2-3 efforts. You know, go knock on her door and make a Valentine for her. I heard that back in sixth grade here. 866-313-3733. Roth Radio, stalk me. Who's there?
My name is Frank.
Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, I was once arrested on the subject of, well, stalking. Basically, the charge was second-degree aggravated harassment, which is over electronic means or communications.
Explain.
Basically, phone calls or whatever. It's like basically a charge that amounts to prank phone calls. And I had met this person. We were friends. Her church was trying to recruit me. And
stop right there. What church was trying to recruit you?
It was called the International Church of Christ.
Is this a popular religion or is this a small side bet?
It's probably like a small movement of maybe 200,000 people in total internationally.
Understood.
And it was considered a dangerous group, so I decided not to join. And I gave her
stop right there. What is it? I'm fascinated. I want to hear everything you got in your skull there. What do you mean it was qualified as a dangerous group? Explain.
Like, basically, you need permission to do anything, even to talk to your own family.
Fundamentalist.
Yeah, pretty much.
Gotcha.
Yeah, pretty nutty stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically, you know, I told her, look, I still want to be friends, and she wasn't crazy about the idea. And maybe I called her about 3 times in 2 months. And then, maybe 4 months later... detective show up at my door, ask me if I knew this person.
4 months after the last phone call that you made to this woman.
Right.
Gotcha.
Asked me to come down to the station for questioning. So I agreed to it. They asked me if I ever called her, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, we had a friendship. She used to call me. I used to call her. So truthfully, yes, I did call her. But it got turned into this whole stalking thing.
So, well, wait a second. Isn't it demonstrable? if that's even the way that you say it, that you only called her three times? What'd you call, on a cell phone? I could even download your phone numbers from here, man. Come on.
No, basically three times after I decided to leave the group. But prior to that, we had an interactive friendship for about a month.
Okay, so they pointed to that and said that that was the stalking issue there?
It was for like a whole period of 6 months from the time I met her.
This sounds intentionally confusing to me. In the 6 months since you last saw her, how many times you call her?
From after we stopped speaking?
Yes.
Well, officially, about three times.
Okay, and they said that that was stalking, or did they point to the actual relationship?
Basically, they pointed to, like, the whole thing, turned things around to, like, I asked her on a date, and she said no, so I started stalking her, which I didn't.
Okay,
and
so
it all revolved around this church group.
And do you think it was the church group that was promoting this, or was this the girl herself?
Basically, what people pointed out to me was that it was because I refused going into this group, and it had something to do with that.
Fascinating. And have you had any further contacts with the religious folks?
No, not at all.
And
basically, after they arrested me, what happened was, you know, I had to spend money on lawyers and stuff like that to get myself out of it. Maybe 5 months later, they were at my door again. They said that I called her and threatened to kill her.
Okay, and did you demonstrate that there were no phone calls coming from your phones?
I had to spend about $3,000 on phone records to demonstrate that she was calling me constantly at a certain point, and to show that on that particular date, she received no phone calls at all on any of her phones on that date.
So she was fabricating the case against you at that point in time.
Right, and the police said that, you know, she received the call on December 9th of that year, but she came in on December 16th to report it.
Sounds like somebody fabricating a case. In legalese, that's called building your case, huh?
Right.
And what do you think was her intent there?
I have no clue.
Well, let's guess. What do you think her intent was?
I really have no clue about it.
Okay, well, let's do 20 questions.
3 years ago.
Do you think she was just, how many years ago was this?
3 years ago.
Okay, and you haven't heard from her in 3 years?
Nope.
But you're still talking about it. Sounds like her mission was successful. Her design was to upset your mind. And here you are, how many years later, talking to me about this? It sounds to me like she was ambitious and she was completely successful. How does that make you feel?
It sucks. I mean, because the case lasted over a year.
And how much money did you actually spend on this?
$12,000.
You got off lucky, son. Really, really, truly, that's a simple little, that's a drop in the bucket for what most people would, go ahead and portray. How much do you think Kobe Bryant might have spent?
Too much.
Yeah, way out. So what do you think can be done about this kind of a thing? You've had plenty of time to think about it. Is there some kind of a rule that you'd like to see installed to prevent against something like this?
Yeah, I'd like to, because we should have to qualify. I mean, the person never showed up at court ever, and in the final day that it was dropped due to an uncooperative witness. You know, after 15 months and 15 appearances, cops coming to my house after the fact just to question me and harass me.
You sound pretty legit to me, guys. Does he sound legit to you?
Uh-huh. Yeah, pretty much.
There you go. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Bang on the next one. Roth Radio. Are you a stalker? You're being stalked.
Well, I was stalked at one time.
Tell us about it.
Okay. Well, I got myself cured, though, without any legal proceedings. There was this girl that used to really dig me, right? I was a younger man then. And me and my buddy shared a house, and she used to show up at my door. She used to follow me to different clubs, and she'd be everywhere I was that I didn't want her to be. I wouldn't give her the time of day.
What do you mean she would sit out in front of your house in her automobile?
No, she would sit on the front porch of my house, wait for me to get home.
And how did she manage to get herself physically there without getting tossed out? Did your buddies know her?
Well, my buddy didn't say too much about it. He was kind of, he didn't want to get involved in it.
Was he sleeping with her?
No. According to him, he said no.
Okay, but do you believe it at this point in time?
Yeah, oh, I believe it. I believe it. She really dug me, man.
Okay, but how is it that she was allowed to sit on that porch if your buddy knew that was upsetting to you? Sounds like there was another agenda there.
I really didn't press the issue of telling him I didn't want her around. I said, oh, man, she's here again. I really didn't take it as a, you know, hindsight being 20/20, I didn't really take it as being stalked. But, you know, now looking back at it, I mean, she would crawl through the window one night when nobody was home and waited for me to get home, and I opened the light, and there she is sitting on my couch.
Oh, one of those classic detective movie routines where you walk in and she says something to you like, Bob, and you turn on the light and go, how'd you get in here, right?
Well, I said, I go, what are you doing here? She had Boston chicken there. She's like, well, I brought you dinner.
Yeah, well, like, oh, at least she didn't bring you a Smith & Wesson. Sometimes happens, right? So continue. This is interesting.
Yeah, so anyways, she'd follow me to clubs. You know, we'd go downtown Cleveland, and my buddies and I, we go to, like, rock clubs. And, you know, she'd show up, and I'm like, how the heck did she know we were here? You know, but she found out somehow, maybe through other friends or whatever. She did her own little detective work, too, to find me. But so one night, you know, my buddy and I were out. We were probably, you know, boozing it up a little bit. And she comes to the door. You know, I'm like, oh, man. But that night, I was a little buzzed up. I said, you know what? I'm going to give in and give her what I think she wants.
And?
So I'm like, all right, come on in, you know. So we, you know, she spends the night. We go to bed together. She gets up. She leaves. I never hear from her again, man.
Well, that's certainly no...
I didn't meet her expectation.
Okay, well, that's certainly no compliment to your prowess in the sleeping bag, but consider yourself very lucky, my friend. Bad sex rules the day. Saves the day, huh? Good
hey,
phone.
There you go. I mean, Mr. Winky wasn't working, you know?
The
so
one...
I never heard from her again, though, Dave. It was great.
Consider yourself complimented and lucky. Thank God, huh?
Weekday mornings on 92.3 Free FM.
What just happened there?
The blender blew up. The CD player.
Hold on one second. Turn the track down a little bit. Did you just blow up the CD player again?
No, I think it was the CD. Somebody's been eating peanut butter sandwiches and using this as a coaster.
Are you serious? Get out of here.
Well,
no, the CD's fine, man. It's the CD equipment here. Wipe it off and we'll play it again here. Tell these idiots to start wiping their hands off, man. Wipe the beach sand off the CDs. Roth Radio. Anyway, New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. We've got coming up somebody very special, country artist and judge on the Nashville Star, Cowboy Troy. You guys familiar with who Cowboy Troy is? Oh, this is amazing stuff. We talk about country western. We talk about bluegrass. You know, we talk about the Nashville sound and, you know, the country music channel. And, you know, that's a whole new wave of interest in that kind of a music. And whenever we talk about it, we've had some really interesting guys here. We had Phil Vassar, who's one of the judges on Nashville Star, which is the equivalent, you know, the country equivalent of American Idol. And in fact, they invited me down to be a celebrity guest judge. I don't know if I can judge country. I think I can. I can pretty much flat pick on an acoustic guitar. But, you know, I've got a couple of country tunes coming up as well. And we had Hank Williams III come on, and, you know, and he was talking on the radio as well. And, you know, even somebody like Derek Trucks extends into that southern kind of frame of mind. And I got an album of, you know, country stuff coming up called Strumming with the Devil. Anyways, when you think of the country, you think of a pretty much a specific kind of sound, right? You think of something that you've heard before. I don't think you've ever heard country artist and judge on Nashville star Cowboy Troy. He's coming up in about 15 minutes, all right? He's going to call in here, God willing, and the creek don't rise here. But I'm going to play you a part of his tune, and hopefully it plays a little better than the last CD that I gave Hutch there. I think it was me that was eating peanut butter and jelly and handling that stuff, man. Whenever I listen to Old Soul, it's PBJ, baby. But here we go. This is Cowboy Troy, and he's going to be calling in about 15 minutes. Dig this. This is super hot country. This is as modern as it gets. This is a judge on Nashville Star. Bang on it. Go ahead.
Black train coming round the bend. Go on, kid, folks, tell your mom and them. Chugga-lugga, chugga-lugga, chugga-lugga. Ooh, the big black neck coming through to you. Boy, you done fell and bumped your head. Uh-huh, that's what they said. People say it's impossible, not probable, too radical. But I already been on the CMAs. Hell, Tim McGraw said he liked the change. Said he likes the way my hiccup sounds and the way the crowd screams when I stomp the ground. I'm thinking black, clickety-clack, and I make the train jump the track like that.
I play chicken with the train, play chicken.
That's not your traditional country sound, is it there?
That's cool, not bad.
Is that something? What do you call that? I think he calls it hick hop, H-I-C-K. Seriously, and it's called Horse of a Different Color. This is, I don't know what you would call that. He calls it hick hop. That's an amazing kind of sound, huh?
Yeah, I would name it country rock.
What do you say again? Go ahead.
I think I would name it country rock, man. It sounded kind of cool.
It's not rock. It's country hop. It's like a hip hop thing. Can we even find a cowboy hat that would fit you, animal?
Maybe now since I cut my hair.
Okay. And this is a guy, he's not just a contestant. He's not just an operator on the charts. This is a judge on, Nashville Star here. USA's Smash Hit Country Music Series, and it premiered this past Tuesday at 10 o'clock here. So, very interesting turns for country music. I see where Bon Jovi is number 7 on the video list, you know, from Country Music Channel, and I see that Kid Rock is advertising his live album a lot on that channel. In fact, if you turn the sound off on the channel, it looks like MTV in the 80s. Everybody seems to be having a really good time long before the show ever starts. It's become an art form to create an entire lifestyle around tailgating. Or, you know, when you set up the barbecue, all the girls are wearing skin tight. All the guys are wearing cowboy hats. And they even do the, what is it, like when they take your car and they redo it, Pimp My Ride? Have you seen that on the TV set?
Yeah, several times.
Okay, like they got a version of it that's even better. They get these guys with these giant Mack trucks, you know, like that they're pulling the 18-wheelers, and redo those. Oh, yeah, 18 coats of hand-rubbed pearlescent lacquer. And it's all guys, you know, in their 30s and stuff. It looks like the guys in the other room. They all got goatees and Ray-Bans, except they're wearing cowboy hats. They got two-tone cowboy boots, and they're painting flames on these trucks. These good old boys are coming out there. Their eyes are bulging out of their head. It's really well worth seeing here. So that's Cowboy Troy, and he's going to be coming up in a little bit. Also, in about a, I don't know, little while, hour and a half or so, is going to be WWE superstar Triple H. Super wrestling, huh? Interesting guest coming up here. You a country fan, Brian? Do you ever play country on that guitar there?
A little bit here and there. I mean, I'm not much of a country player, but that was badass, that last song. I liked it. I've been listening to that Hank Williams, the third record, that CD that he put out. It's really cool.
I mean, he plays like three different kinds of music in and of one concert, right? He does
country death metal.
Yeah, exactly. He does something that's called Hellbilly. He calls it H-E-L-L. Wasn't there a movie called Hellbillies?
There was a band called the Hellbillies. They were more like a rockabilly, though.
Yeah, but that may well be him, because that's what he's doing. You know, he's conversing in three different styles. I think he's doing what's more traditional country, and then we're talking about Hank Williams III, who called in a few days ago. His album is the first one ever to get a parental advisory sticker on his album, okay? And what were some of the song titles from his thing?
It was, there were four. I Got Thrown Out of the Bar or something like that.
My Drinking Problem.
My Drinking Problem.
And the first one's called The Devil Is Real, and then it has some other part. And it's, it starts off like he's repenting, but then all of a sudden, then the rest of the song, he's drinking away and going crazy.
Okay.
Like he's going to hell.
Well, sometimes the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Sometimes the apple stays in the tree, huh? Like I said, coming up also in about an hour or so is Triple H. He's the 10-time world champion, of, and he's one of the biggest stars in the WWE. And this Saturday on NBC, Triple H and the WWE will air their first Saturday night's main event on the network in 13 years. It's like country western. It works in waves, but it never goes away, huh? It's like a stalker. It's always out there for you here. And this fella is one of the best. He's also appeared in a lot of flicks, including Blade Trinity. You a Blade fan?
Yeah, I saw him in that. That was pretty good.
Oh, he's amazing. You know, I'm going to be very curious to speak with him as well. So keep in mind, Cowboy Troy coming up, Triple H. Coming off the news here, only the news that counts, Germany's sex industry gears up for the World Cup. Is this the World Cup for the sex industry? My cup will runneth over, huh? The combination of nail-biting soccer matches and crowds of beer-swilling males could mean hefty profits for Germany's sex industry. Evidently, they're deploying an army of prostitutes. This is a movie in itself, isn't it? Let me think about this. Go ahead. Germany is deploying an army of prostitutes. You know, usually when you say Germany, you got a bad connotation. It's from all the World War II movies. It's John Wayne's influence on me personally. And also, you know, all the old James Bond movies, all the bad guys had at least a Russian or a German accent, right? Anytime you think of a dominatrix, doesn't she have a German accent? I mean, just not.
I just picture that girl on Hogan's Heroes, the secretary that liked Hogan.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Fraulein. Yeah. Fraulein Helga.
Okay, at the same time period, the woman who occupied that space in my heart, in my Speedos, was Wonder Woman. Same kind of thing. Yeah. You know, tall, really unhappy, but available. I'm still waiting for Wonder Woman to come down and tie me up in her golden lariat and make me tell the truth. Maybe we can get her to call in. We're getting Batman and Robin, the guys from the original Batman series, to call in a day or two. You know, they're making the rounds. TV Land is celebrating their anniversary and everything. So who is that? Burt Ward? Was that his name?
Burt Ward's Robin.
Ozzy just showed up.
Burt Ward was Robin. Adam West was Batman.
Adam West.
How quickly we forget. Anyways, they're deploying an army of prostitutes from Germany to satisfy the needs of libidinous fans. I can't believe I pronounced that this early. During the month-long 2006 World Cups. Wow. How many prostitutes would you need for us for a month-long thing? I plan for a weekend at the most, you know. It's like
march. A lot of booty there, man.
It's like the March of the Penguins, you know, where they had to like journey over 75 miles of frozen Arctic tundra. I only have to go to Atlantic City, man. Okay, some 1 million foreign visitors are expected to flood into Germany from June 9th and may expect large numbers of male spectators to wind down after a match in the arms of a prostitute or in the red light districts of the 12 host cities. Hamburg's St. Pauli Quarter. I wonder if this has anything to do with St. Pauli Girl. You know the beer, St. Pauli Girl, and they have the Hamburg's St. Pauli Quarter, the country's largest and most famous red light district. St. Pauli Girl. God, please don't disappoint me. Please tell me that this is true. Okay, an army of prostitutes from Germany dressed like the St. Pauli Girl are headed right for my face. And, sorry? You guys are laughing in all the wrong places today. Drink a Red Bull and shut up, Hutch. Come on. Turn up the music and drink a Red Bull. Now, I wonder how much Red Bull is going to be consumed during this sporting encounter. I don't mean the football. A lot of contact down there on the field. Anyway, some 1 million visitors are showing up, and they're setting up for what's a bumper season for the legal sex industry. So, you know, it's where the Beatles played, et cetera, here. Put the sign down, Hutch. I'm going to finish this one. This is a very, this is important news, okay? Britney Spears changing her baby at the sushi bar. Okay, just know, okay? This one, okay? Here we go. Football and prostitution are a great match, says Hans Henning Schneiderreit. I pronounced that too. Owner of the St. Pauli's Safari Cabaret. Now there's a t-shirt that I want. Renowned for its sex shows. And he goes on to say, you get lots of men at the right biological age. That sounds like a German, doesn't it? You get lots of right men at the right biological age. That sounds Pakistani. But a Pakistani, perhaps, who would live in Germany. Anyway, you get lots of men at the right biological age, and they're all fired up by a football match. What else could you hope for? Hey, I have a renewed faith in Germany. Give it up, baby.